Welcome to Prevention 365, where prevention is every day in every way. This is our New Year's episode where we're going to talk about what we do at home for New Year's because ADAP is such a diverse group of people. I'm your host for this episode, Karina. I'm a development associate at ADAP, and then we're joined by Tom Chick, who is the IYCC
Coordinator.
coordinator. And then, sorry, I was gonna say manager. Marlon, who's the community organizer for Inglewood, and Kelsey's also here, and she's also with me in development. I guess for this New Year's episode, we're basically gonna talk about what we do at home. I have a Chinese background, so typically we just celebrate with hot pot. Hot pot is, for those who don't know, it's a big old bowl of soup in the middle of the table, and then we got a bunch of raw veggies and meat, and we just in intervals dump everything into the pot, and then we share a meal that way. But I know I don't actually know any other way to eat a meal for New Year's. Right? I don't know, Tom. What do you do? Do you have a meal that you guys do?
We have multiple meals actually, which is kind of interesting with our family. And when I was growing up, just trying to understand New Year's and what it meant, at least the Chinese New Year for me, the way my dad put it to me, it's like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's all rolled into one. That's how big of a celebration it is for us. And I don't know if anyone else kind of heard that saying before, but as far as meals, we always start off with just the immediate family, like my parents, my brother, myself, and now, with my wife and kids as well. And we go out to eat with my parents at a restaurant. And it eventually leads to a bigger celebration with the entire family because my dad comes from a family of, I think he has nine brothers and sisters. So we're talking about a lot of people coming over with cousins, and nieces and nephews. So it can get pretty elaborate with all the food. There's some traditional food, of course, and then there's folks that just bring, their own little plate to or their own little dish to the event to contribute to the potluck. So yeah, it's a lot of eating.
I think that's one of the most telling ways, or that it's an Asian celebration. But I think this goes over many cultures where it's the focus is food, right?
Family and
I don't
food.
know.
Family and food. I've noticed that.
Yeah, that transcends any culture.
Correct.
Yeah, I have a question before I kind of elaborate on my experience. So with the hot pot, right? Like everyone's at the table at the same time, or does everybody just go to I'll grab my portion of the soup and eat it over here?
Well, actually, no. So everyone is at the table, and it's usually what people do is they'll have a gas stove, and then there's a pot, a big old pot in the middle, a steel pot, and it's split in half. And then half of the pot is spicy soup, and then the other half is not spicy. And then we'll take turns putting the raw stuff in. Not dump everything in at once, but whatever, because stuff like the meat is cut really, really thin, so it cooks super fast. So it's like you throw in little bits, and then you pull it out, and then you talk while the food is cooking in the middle.
Oh, I've heard of hot pot. I never tried it, but I've seen it in restaurants. I've never heard of it in a family setting. So that's really cool that you guys do that hot pot for New Year's. My background's Guatemalan. So I've done New Year's different ways. So that's more communal because we would always have a break around 10:30, 11, and there'll be some type of relatively like a simple potluck. Like I'm used to eating like bolillo with beans stuck in in the middle with some cheese. That's something that that we have families from Mexico or Salvador, Guatemala. So that was something that was easy. I've done it with my family, where we might have tamales still. So we're still eating tamales. The Guatemalan tamale is a little bit different from the Mexican tamales. They use the plantain leaves. They're a little bit larger, a little bit moist. So that's what I was used to eating. And Tom, you know, I was thinking what you were saying, that Chinese New Year is like all the holidays that maybe the general Americans know of all in one. To me, in my experience, has always been like the least important. Thanksgiving, it's pretty big, you know, for those that are here. You know, Christmas, everyone dresses up. Everyone comes to eat together, eat tamales. We open gifts at midnight on New Year's. I mean, on Christmas Eve, going to Christmas Day, and then the day is called the recalentado. We come back to eat all the leftovers. But New Year's, it's like, I don't know. I know some people still dress up and they hang out, but I don't see it as big as, you know, Christmas or even like Thanksgiving, from my experience. Sometimes people just branch off. It's just their families themselves or something a little bit smaller, or go to church. So it's interesting, you know, how the dynamics are different.
Yeah, I would say that New Year, especially like Lunar New Year, like for Asians, it takes priority over the other holidays. I think I'm too Asian American to understand why. Cause like I don't know. Sometimes I find myself doing these traditions, or like my dad will be like, "We gotta do this," or "We gotta do this." But I think I'm so far removed from like the origin of why we do certain things, where I just do it without question.
I think celebrating here in the U.S. is not as big. I know if you go to like, you know, like China or Vietnam, some of the countries that are very big on this, they close down for weeks, from what I heard.
You know,
it's a long celebration. It's not just, hey, it's one day and it's over, or 2 days. We're talking about multiple days of stores being closed, you know, and being home with family. So it's a really big deal. And you're certain parts of the world that celebrate this, like, you know, this is their thing.
Yeah, according to my mom, like when I ask her about it, she says like nobody works for weeks sometimes, because it's such a huge thing in their country, and it's a huge celebration. So they just close down all shops, like there's nothing open, and everyone's just spending time at home with their families.
I was reading a Twitter post where like I follow this like freelance artist, and she has manufacturers that she works with in China. And they were like, oh, if you want stuff for spring, you have to turn in your order now, because we will be closed for weeks on end until March. So they have vacation from like in intervals, they have a long vacation, like a long winter break from January into March. I think because typically, because Lunar New Year or Chinese New Year follow the lunar calendar, so it doesn't fall on like January 1st, like on our calendar, like how we normally know it to be. It changes every year, but this, or for 2022, it's, I think earlier, it's like February, right? Or like January?
I think it's in February for 2022.
It's like a little bit earlier than usual.
So Lunar New Year and Chinese New Year is the same.
Yes, sorry. I keep interchanging them, but it's the same.
Okay. So the lunar calendar, can you explain that a little bit to me? Because I'm a little unfamiliar with that, but I'm very interested. When I think about countries closing, the whole country closing for like family and celebration, in Guatemala, it's Semana Santa, which is... what is it in English? The week, or the resurrection week. We call it Holy Week. I don't know. It's usually spring break around here. But in Guatemala, it's known as Holy Week, Semana Santa. And that's where everything is closed. And it's everybody's enjoying it, you know, with families, people go on vacation, there's processions, there's a bunch of things. But I would like to learn more, like, what's the lunar calendar? Because I don't know what that is. And I don't know, I'm very interested.
You want to take a stab at that, Karina?
Oh, okay. okay, from what I remember from a past all staff presentation that I had to do, the lunar calendar is what they used to use for agriculture. So way back when, in ye old days, for they would follow the lunar calendar for gardening, or sorry, like farming and stuff like that. So that was their choice of like how to tell the seasons and when it's good to plant things and whatnot. Not like the Gregorian calendar where it follows the sun. So because of that, they follow back then they used the lunar calendar for agriculture. They ended up, revolving their holidays and traditions around that calendar. Whereas it's similar to like on the Western side where they would use the sun to tell like, oh, it's this time, or oh, it's around this season, so we'll do this around now. So it's basically the equivalent, but instead of following the sun, it's following the moon. And because there's like the cycle of the moon is different from the cycle of the sun, that's why Lunar New Year doesn't fall on the same day every year. And that's why it's like changing up like that. So it's pretty hard to, there's also like, I don't know mine, but I know when I was growing up, some people were like, what's your Chinese birthday? And I was like, I don't know what that means, but apparently it's your birthday according to the lunar calendar. And I still don't know mine, but I don't know. Tom, Kelsey, do you guys know your quote unquote Chinese birthday?
I think mine is like, because my birthday is November 22nd. So my mom always says it's around like November 10 or 11, because the lunar calendar is like roughly around 11 days shorter. So I think she just like subtracts that from my birthday. But yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. We never really celebrate. I mean, it was more the older generation, like my grandma or my grandfather or some of the older uncles would celebrate their Chinese, birthday as opposed to their Western birthday. So, yeah, for the younger generation, like my generation and younger, we don't really, talk about it. Or, I mean, I don't even know how to read the calendar, to be honest, because some of the Chinese calendars have the Western days, and they also have something written in Chinese, probably the lunar calendar, so they know how to read that. I have no idea how to read it. But just to show the difference, I guess, like last year's Lunar New Year or Chinese New Year fell on February 12th, and this year is going to fall on February 1st. So, like about 11-day difference, right?
Yeah. it's actually really cool, though, using the lunar calendar, because my mom, she still looks at the lunar calendar sometimes, and because it's based on the moon phases, she always knows when there's going to be a full moon. Mm-hmm. So she's always like, I'm always like looking at the like moon, and I'll be like, oh, is it full moon today? And she's like, yeah, it is, because it's on this day. So it's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. So the generation before just celebrated the lunar birthday or the Chinese birthday?
A long time ago, I think. I think like more traditional people, but since for us we're more like westernized, we don't really celebrate our Chinese birthdays.
I don't think my parents want to do two birthdays for me.
Can you imagine having two birthdays?
Well, I guess when you get older, you don't want to be reminded twice that you're getting
right.
It's true.
Good deal if you're a kid. So how does your family celebrate Lunar New Year here in the States? What's the celebration typically look like?
I think one of the things that like will never die out is the tradition of red envelopes. I think that one is like, no matter, I mean, like, who doesn't like getting money?
Oh, it's money. Oh
yeah, so it's called New Year's money. So you get, the older folks in the family will give the kids or the unmarried people the envelopes And it's I'm sure you've seen it. It's like a little red envelope.
One right
and
here, stick, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
An example.
Yes, a visual.
Empty ones though, but there's like a lot of different designs. So,
oh,
like,
those are cool.
They look like this. Sorry, it's kind of blurry. But
yeah. So typically, you put money and then you give them to the kids or you give them to the unmarried young adults. And then, one of the things I learned when I was working at the boba shop that I worked at before here is you don't give an odd amount of money
really?
In the envelope. Yeah, you can only give like an even amount in the envelope. Otherwise, it's like bad luck.
Really?
Yeah. So you can only do like one time. Like my manager, WeChat us like $2 to our WeChat. Envelopes, I mean wallets or whatever.
I feel like someone gave me an odd number.
Oh, I've been giving out fives to my little cousins all the time.
Oh no. Well,
maybe that's why my parents or grandparents always give fives or tens, because that's more of an even number. I'm sorry, tens or 20.
Yeah, because it's an even number. I don't know why odd numbers are bad, but you know. Yeah,
there's a lot of with the celebration and talking about odd numbers being bad, there's a lot of superstitious stuff that happens too. So you have to follow a lot of tradition and culture. Like one of the things we did was to clean. We had to do a lot of cleaning before the new year. That was to supposedly get rid of all the bad and evil and whatever negative things that happened in the past year, and you're welcoming any new things coming in. So I remember doing a lot of cleaning. I always remember getting new socks, new underwear, new undershirt for New Year's. You know, not that I didn't get it when I needed it throughout the year, but you know, for definitely on New Year's Eve, we would get that. I would get those things. My brother and I would get it all the time.
That's so traditional Latino Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Underwears and stuff.
Yeah, lots of celebrating, lots of getting together with family. And I don't know of anyone else too, but we don't always celebrate exactly on the day of New Year because of work and all that. So my parents and my dad and his siblings will pick out a day to meet up at someone's house and then we'll celebrate from there. So it's, like I said, it's all food, it's just family. There's some gambling involved. And we play a different, you know, a lot of adults play their games, the kids will play their kids' games. And I do remember when I was working on problem gambling, that was the one time I was allowed to gamble throughout the whole year, you know, was during New Year's. My dad would not allow it throughout the rest of the year, but he allowed it during New Year's, which was cool. I mean, I would play like bingo for quarters or, you know, whatever. I'll watch my uncles play cards. That was happening a lot. It still happens a lot now.
That actually reminds me, I haven't thought about it, but because New Year's for us, a lot of times it's like we're watching Univision, the Spanish channel, and waiting for like the ball to drop at, you know, 12 o'clock or whatnot. So a lot of time it's just like hanging out and passing the time. So we would play Loteria.
Mm.
And yeah, it's kind of like bingo, you fill in the whole card.
Right.
And we would play for quarters. So yeah, that was a family activity that reminded me of a New Year's with my family. So there's gambling. Is there drinking? Because I know in my culture, any holiday, any celebration is a reason to drink.
There is. I remember my uncles when they would play cards, they would drink. My grandfather would, you know, drink, have a beer or two. But I think in the most part, like my family. At least I don't recall a lot of alcohol involved. It was only done during the holidays, but not on a general day-to-day basis. At least with the older generation, like, you know, my dad's generation, there wasn't a lot of drinking. But there was some when it was New Year's. You know, there was some alcohol around, some beer.
Yeah, I think for my family, when it comes to drinking, a lot of my family members don't really drink, but there's still some drinking involved. I think it just depends on the family. But going back to what Tom was saying about the cleaning, like my family would clean a lot too before the days of, or before Chinese New Year would come, because supposedly on the day you're not supposed to do any cleaning at all. because when you do, sorry, my dogs, I don't know if you guys can hear, but when you do the cleaning, you're taking away all the bad energy or like bad luck. So like when you're not supposed to do it on the day of, because that's supposed to be, if you do clean on the day of Chinese New Year, that's like cleaning out the good luck. And then I also remember my mom always tells me to cut my hair before Chinese New Year, because it has to do with like the bad luck thing too, where you're like cutting out the bad luck. Or like even washing my hair, I'm not supposed to wash it on the day of, because that's like washing out your good luck too. So yeah, there's a lot of like luck in like the traditions. So everything has to do with like good luck or bad luck.
But yeah, there's a whole list of things you're not supposed to do and do.
Yeah.
So don't get caught doing the things you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Or you'll get yelled at.
Yeah, I also, last year, I think, well, typically I go out to get my hair cut, but because of COVID last year, I cut my own bangs.
Oh, yeah, so, I remember.
Yeah, those awful, awful bangs, those awful quarantine bangs. But yeah, I was like, all right, well, I have to cut my hair because it's New Year, so.
Yeah.
I didn't know the one, actually, okay, I also don't wash my hair on New Year, but my mom thought my dad made that up.
Oh, really?
And she was like, that's gross. And I was like, I don't know what's true anymore.
No, I remember learning about that in school when I was younger. And
okay, so that's
legit. I guess it just stuck with me. And then I asked my mom about it and she confirmed it, so.
Okay.
Well, 9 out of 10 Chinese people say don't wash your hair.
Oh. But.
Well, Tom, do your kids know about Chinese or Lunar New Year? Are they familiar with the customs?
Yeah, my kids, for those that don't know, they're biracial. So they're Chinese and Mexican, you know, so we do expose them to both cultures. You know, I know younger, they spend a lot of time with my grandparents, my parents and my grandparents, so they got exposed to the Chinese side of their, you know, their identity, so they're familiar with a lot of the things. That I'm gonna assume that as they get older, that tradition is gonna die slowly with them as well, because they're not Hakka Sick. They're not like excited to get the new pair of socks or underwear like I was. But they are excited about the lucky money. That's the only thing they get really excited about, is when they get the lycee from, you know, all the elders. So yeah, they know about it. Cool. They know about the food. They know about, you know, different things that happen right before New Year, like the cleaning and all that stuff. So I try to get them to clean. When they were younger, it was a little easier. Now that they're older, it's like, all right.
That's cool. That's cool. They get the different experiences from their cultures.
Yeah, so they get both. Like they make tamales right before Christmas with my wife's family. So they get a mix of a little bit of everything. We try really hard to at least educate them. You know, maybe we don't follow everything exactly, but we try to educate them on both cultures.
Is there anything else that you're curious about, Marlon? About like what we do for Lunar New Year, or is it like any aspects?
I mean, it's just, I think it's, everyone has their culture and they hear kind of the background and how traditions are passed on. And just like the similarities, there's some similarities to say how, let's say, Latinos or Latinx families celebrate their New Year's, right? And it's always tied to family, mm-hmm. which I appreciate, is there anything else that, like, I don't know, you want to share with us anything else related to Lunar New Year? I know in past conversations, there's Lunar New Year's and there's some other New Year's, right? Am I mistaken? Cambodia might have their own one.
Yeah. Cambodians have their own New Year. I'm trying to figure out who else has their own New Year.
I think Southeast Asians have their own date, another date for celebrating it. I'm not sure though. I don't think I should assume or speak for them though. But I remember Tiffany saying something about it in April.
Yeah, it's Cambodian New Year's in April.
Okay.
Yeah, so Vietnamese celebrate the same New Year's as Chinese.
Because yeah.
Of, I guess, the heavy influence on, you know, China.
Yeah. I think Cambodians and Laos celebrate their own New Year's around April.
Yeah, I know for sure Cambodians are in April.
Yeah.
We don't know the reasoning behind that though, but maybe they could do a little Cambodian New Year episode.
In April.
In yeah. April.
Yeah.
Yeah. About, so much, yeah.
There's so much diversity in Asia and here it's just in ADA, you know?
That's true.
Asian American Drug Abuse Program, but there's a lot of us from different backgrounds. So it's really fun to work to learn these things. So I don't think I have any more questions. I think I learned a lot. The value of family. That's what it seems like these celebrations are centered on, which is great. And yeah, learning the, I won't wash my hair either. But when I see it's Lunar New Year, I won't wash it. I don't want to wash the good luck away. So, and I'm married, so I don't get any envelopes. So,
no, you're technically supposed to be giving it out.
Yeah, I'll give it out to my nephews and my son.
There you go. Okay, and then I guess that will wrap it up for that episode of Prevention 365, where prevention is every day and every way. Yeah. Anything anybody else want to add?
Just thank you for inviting me to speak on this. That was cool.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting me too.
Woohoo! All right. That'll do it for us then. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.